Good morning. Actually, very bright, isn't it? Or I'm very bright. Well, I am very bright. That's a fact. But it's very bright. Sorry for the brightness. Go outside, I'll be with you in a few minutes. How you doing? One of the things that occurred to me this morning, I had to rebuild last night. I was working late last night, and the YouTube upload of the radio show didn't appear online till about midnight. That's because still been working on the technical issues that caused a few problems in the week, and I've had to rebuild everything and basically erase hard drives and build them from the ground up. And the broadcast software that I'm using now to speak with you now had to be put back on this morning. So I'm just on for 25 minutes or a half an hour, just as a kind of a run, a dry run, because I didn't want there to be any problems on Monday. So there you are. It is Friday. It is the 22nd of November. And of course, that means it's 56 years to the day that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was murdered in Dallas, Texas. And I can't help but think about a great friend of mine, the one and only Jim Mars, who passed away a couple of years ago. Jim, one of the greatest journalists and writers that I ever had the pleasure to meet, and he was a really close friend of mine. Without ever having met the man physically, I got to know him in during my days in Spain, on the radio in Spain, and he used to come on with me. I used to call them the Holy Trinity or the Unholy Trinity. Jim Mars, of course, Jordan Maxwell, and David Icke, back in my kind of early conspiracy research radio days. Those three guys were very generous with their time and, coming on the radio with me regularly. And I got to know and love all of them. And Jim always comes to mind on November 22nd. Yeah, John F. Kennedy, the day the music died. I won't dwell on that. Just came on, as I said, to make sure everything was working again. And it is working again. So good morning to you. A few interesting things going on in the papers today. Been reading the papers in the last hour or thereabouts. We'll have a look at one or two stories. Let me just mention, I had a conversation. Actually, bear with me. I had a very interesting conversation with Cherise Burchett last night. She's a lady who lives in the London area and is a, I suppose, an advocate and a campaigner for independent research into vaccine safety. She's more than that, but that's how I introduced her on the programme last night. And I have to say, I mean this seriously. I've never seen a layman or a laywoman. That's a person who, for me, hasn't sought publicity, hasn't sought to be in the public eye, isn't a scientist, isn't a doctor, but just somebody who's come across some worrying or worrisome information, which has led her to ask questions of men and women who work in science, who work in academia. And on that level, I have never seen anybody get as much abuse as this woman has done in recent years. This woman, this person, this mother who took an interest in this subject matter when her son's behavior and health changed dramatically in the wake of, because it was only a few days after he had been vaccinated. And it gets you thinking, obviously, can you imagine if this is the level of abuse and hostility and doxing? And she's had to deal with a lot more than doxing. I don't know if I can say it or if I should say it here, but people have really come after this woman, this independent woman, wife, mother. Imagine if you're in academia. Imagine if you're in the field of microbiology. Imagine if you're in the field of chemistry. What would happen to you if you began to ask the questions asked by this, ordinary woman? And I'm an ordinary bloke, by the way. The only thing that makes me different, if anything, to my friends and to my chums, my pals, is that I do a different type of job. It's not an ordinary job to do, but I'm not an extraordinary man. I'm an ordinary bloke. Imagine the abuse if you're a microbiologist, chemist, doctor. We've seen doctors, what happens to them. We've seen researchers. She mentioned Chris Exley. Why am I bringing this up again? Well, a woman has invited herself onto the programme who tweets under the name of Rose Wind. And she has volunteered her children for vaccine trials, or at least she claims to have done. And she's taken vaccine. She has participated in vaccine trials herself. So, of course, she'll be given access to the radio programme. And, of course, she will be treated with exactly the same courtesy as I treated Cherise Burchett last night, regardless of whether or not I sympathise and empathise with Cherise, which indeed I do. But I have some very serious questions for the lady. And polite though I will be, my questions are going to be pretty hard. And she's going to contact me with all her details and we'll get her on the programme next week. But again, the emphasis on being, we are not the mainstream media. We don't treat people badly with whom, you know, people with whom we disagree or we have disagreements with. It's good news that the other side, even though this mother, this woman, like Cherise, isn't a doctor, isn't an academic, isn't a scientist, but she'll get access to the programme. Because as I made the point last night and I made the point today, neither is Cherise. Clever and all as Cherise is, she doesn't have a background in medicine or in chemistry or in biology. No more than I have, of course. So there you are. Right. Chat away amongst yourselves there. I will read a few comments out in a minute. Friday, November 22nd, 2000. And 19, 56 years, it is 56 years since JFK was murdered in Dallas, Texas. Probably one of the most important things that happened in the 21st century, in terms of what happened after it. If you ever get a chance to read Crossfire by Jim Mars, Crossfire was the book that was used as the basis for Oliver Stone's film JFK, which you might remember was about Jim Garrison. Very, very good film. Critics didn't favour it, didn't do so well at the box office, but I liked it. Jim Garrison. So Crossfire. Let's, for the crack then, for the hell of it, have a look at the front pages of the UK newspapers this morning. Corbyn unveils Labour's most radical manifesto for decades. Talked about this last night in the monologue. Jeremy Corbyn has pledged to return the Royal Mail back into public ownership. He's going to have to get it back from the Germans. It's the Germans. Michael Shrimpton was right. It's always the Germans. Not just the mail, but utilities, water, gas and oil. And of course he wants to nationalise the UK's rail network. Now, I'm obviously in favour of that. Why don't you support them then? Not getting into that today. I'm obviously in favour of all that. I don't buy it for a minute that they would do it, given the opportunity. But that's Jeremy Corbyn yesterday. I think the Brexit party, Nigel Farage's party, very strange, of course, because Farage himself isn't standing in any constituency. I think the Brexit party unveils its own manifesto sometime this morning. If that's the kind of thing that rocks your boat, you'll be able to watch the announcement and the live press conference, I suppose, on the BBC and Sky News channels, if that's what you want to do. So that's the Guardian newspaper. Corbyn's £83 billion tax robbery is the Daily Mail headline. So again, I've mentioned this before, the headlines, in case you didn't know, betray which party the newspapers support. Of course, the Daily Mail, long-standing supporter of the Conservative Party. the Daily Mirror, of course, would have been a Labour Party newspaper. But did the Mirror endorse David Cameron in 2010? Mine's a bit sketchy. Memory's a bit sketchy this morning. I think it might have done. One of the Labour, traditional Labour supporting tabloids, definitely flipped and supported Davy Cameron and his band of bullshitters back in 2010. Anyway, that's the Mail today. What about the Express? I hear you cry. Well, here it is. £80 billion raid on your wallets. Again, no apologies made by the Daily Express for its bias. It is a Conservative Party supporting rag. Picture of Prince Andrew there, crisis summit at the palace. Did you see that picture of Fergie being chauffeured into the palace? What an opportunist Fergie is. I reckon Fergie is just gagging for a shagging. I bet you Fergie hasn't had any for ages. And she thinks, well, this is it now. He can't have anybody else. He'll have me. She was pictured going into the palace with a big grin on her face like a Cheshire cat, Fergie. Proper minx, Fergie. She's well up for it. Fergie. Back in the day, yeah, absolutely. I'm answering that rhetorical question that you have left hanging in the air. Back in the day, absolutely. Absolutely. I always thought Fergie was better looking than Diana. But then again, I can't see 4 feet in front of me without Coca-Cola bottle thick glasses, you know. The Mirror. On your side, you see the Mirror supporting Jeremy Corbyn, supporting Comrade Corbyn. And his little red book. He's going to bankrupt us all. Yes. Now Andy in Gulf Trip Row. Apparently Andy was due to go to Bahrain on a junket. And the Queen. And the Queen. And the Queen. Says, you're not going to Bahrain, you little bastard. You're not going anywhere for a few weeks. Get up them stairs. That's how it was in Ireland. Get up them stairs. What would parents have done in bungalows, I wonder? You know, austere and very harsh parents like I had. What would they have done in bungalows? What the fuck would they have done? Huh? Look at the state of them trousers. Get up them stairs. Yeah. If any government wants to eliminate corporal punishment or child abuse, physical child abuse, if you want to get rid of it in one fell swoop, just ban bungalows. No. Ban two-story houses. by the way, Graham Booth, I don't know what Graham is doing here, sending me super chat donations. Thanks, Graham. I'll have a point on you later on, but you shouldn't do that. The Trigger Warning boys are brilliant. This live stream wouldn't be happening without Graham Booth. I have enormous time for these lads. In an era when people are being disappeared off of social media, when they are being fired from their jobs because of their opinions. Thank God for people like Graham Booth and Hayden Hewitt and the Trigger Warning platform and the things that they're up to. Finding space for people who have been ostracised because of what they think. They're brilliant, and I mean that. Check them out. They will say some things that will properly piss you off. Tough shit Paddy. Get on with it. Argue with them or fuck off. That's how it goes. Debate or piss right off. So the Mirror, thanks Graham. And thanks as well to Liz. Thank you so much, Liz. I really appreciate that. Liz, there's nothing great about this crap, but thanks very much anyway. I really appreciate that. The radio show is something to be, I shouldn't say proud of, because pride comes before a fall, but I'm proud of the effort that goes into the radio show. I'll take it for the radio show, but not for this nonsense. But thanks very much anyway. Financial Times then. Corbyn's tax and spend manifesto stirs spectre of 1970s for business. Look, I won't get into it now because you know how I feel about this, because it's been a mainstay of the radio show for many years. What has been a mainstay? Well, discussion around the creation of money. Yes. Jeremy Corbyn. Who's ringing me now, eh? Tez. Tez is ringing me. Because he's not watching this. Right. What has been a mainstay? the creation of money, the borrowing of money by governments. A friend of mine said, Richie, don't be so hard on Corbyn and Labour, because if and when they form the next government, things will become a little easier for the worst off amongst us. Disabled men and women who, because of their disability, are struggling to make ends meet. They don't get a lot of help from the government. And even the help they do get from the government is under constant threat by the Department of Work and Pensions, that wants to constantly try and find ways to reduce the assistance that is needed by disabled people. And I have enormous respect for people who say that. Yes, 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 yes. Temporarily, if Labour forms the next government, the squeeze will ease off the poorest and the most maligned people in society. Temporarily. Because Jeremy Corbyn will add to the nation's debt by borrowing heavily through the issuing of government bonds to pay for his generosity. What does that mean? It means that in a few years' time, and this is how it works, people. Surely some of you are getting this by now. I've never been that arrogant to say, listen, I know what I'm talking about. I know more than you. This is right. So take it, accept it, and deal with it. I've never done that, but I'm doing it now. This is how it goes, you see. Remember the famous, very famous, published, peer-reviewed accountant, economist Steve Keane, live on the Richie Allen Show, the Australian, on the radio show, acknowledged that I was right. He said, why would Richie borrow from the Bank of Richie? At interest. Why? We've all got a few bob in our bank accounts, don't we? I know some of you don't, and I appreciate that, and you know, I don't take it for granted. When I say I have a few bob, we've not got lots. We've got a little bit. In the event that we lose our jobs, we've got a couple of months, like most people, right? But I don't borrow from myself at interest to go to see a concert at the arena or at the O2. I take some money from my meagre savings and use it. Why would you borrow from your own bank at interest to pay for your programme of government? And this is what people need to get their heads around. So temporarily things wouldn't be too bad. Wouldn't be as bad for the worst off. But in the long run, it gets worse and worse and worse for everybody. Boom to bust. Fractional reserve banking. This is how it works. Each recession is worse than the one that preceded it. What happens after each recession? The government of the day says we've got to tighten the bootstraps, tighten the purse strings. We've lived beyond our means. So we've got to introduce some austerity. We've got to defund vital public programs, public services. And we've got to, you know, we've got to cut back on spending on social welfare payments. Got to do all that. And that's what Corbyn does inadvertently. And every champagne, fake, phony fucking socialist that came before him, that's what they do. They fuck off after a few years. He retires a multimillionaire, and the next Conservative Party Prime Minister comes in and says, there was a note in the Treasury to say, there's fuck all money, son. Right? So Corbyn can stick his little red book and his claims to be a socialist up his hairy fucking arse, because he's far from a socialist. And I hear you when you say the worst off will be a little bit better off for a short period of time. Yeah, but is it worth it to carry on as we carry on, as we have done for so many years? There's the Times, Corbyn hails £83 billion dream spending plan. Let's get rid of that. The Times, of course, Conservative Party supporting paper. The iPaper, Corbyn's blueprint for power. Will Jeremy Corbyn be the next Prime Minister? Who knows? Anything is possible. Water off a duke's back is the metro. Andrew all smiles before a trip to Middle East. As Fergie, look at Fergie, look! Look at the puss on Fergie. I'm getting shagged tonight. Woo! Fergie. Would have been something to know Fergie in the late 70s, huh? Marvellous. You sexist bastard, Richie. I am what I am. Here's the sun. Women, know your limits. The Grin Reaper, shamed princess, smile as top aide, axed furious. Fergie joins him at the palace. Look at Fergie. Get in there, kid. Loving it. I'm back. They won't let this go anywhere. This guy go anywhere. He's confined to his bedroom. I'm here. Here's the Telegraph. UK starts bringing back ISIL children. According to the Telegraph. We've heard a lot in recent weeks, haven't we? About these prison camps in northern Syria. Who's minding them? The Kurds? The Turks? The Yanks? And in those prison camps, thousands of men, many of whom have committed unspeakable acts of horror, mass murder. Many of them who didn't. Women in there who got caught up in it. And of course, children. And I'm not going to do the Helen Lovejoy, oh, won't somebody please think of the children, but the children didn't do anything to anybody, did they? So what are they going to do with all those children? Well, the Telegraph alleges they're going to start bringing them back. Bring back the little monsters. They'll grow up into jihadis like their daddies. Here's the Star. Flare thugs destroyed my boobs. Liam Gallagher. Gallagher, they say in Manchester. It's Gallagher. Fucking godless bastards, the English. It's Gallagher, but they say Gallagher. This is a bugbear of mine, Gallagher. He should know better as well. His mother is Irish, Peggy. Some dickhead left a flare off at an indoor gig. It exploded and burned this woman. I saw a news story about her yesterday. She'll survive, though. I don't know what they'll do for her fucking ears after listening to Liam Gallagher for 2 hours. Jesus Christ. I'd be more concerned about her ears. That's the Star. Jihadi daddies. Good morning to Josh Ratcliffe, who says fractional reserve banking and fiat currency is slavery. You're damn right it is. Sir Hubert says, who pioneered the fractional reserve banking? Rothschild, Warburg, Oppenheimer and Schiff, says Sir Hubert. Yes, that's true. Megatree Rat is talking about Evo Morales and the coup that removed him from Bolivia. Yes, I know I didn't cover it on the radio show apart from mentioning it. What's there to say? It depresses the bejesus out of me. The CIA have been doing it forever to men in Central and in South America. Not just men, women. Leaders who said, no, multinational corporations, no, fuck off, no. We'll nationalise our copper. We'll nationalise our wealth, our minerals. We will kick out the banks, so you get CIA sponsored coups. It's been around since Moses was in short trousers, and it depresses me to be talking about it. So this is interesting. Let's have a look at this. Before we do, let me read a few more comments there. Lovely. Hi to Simon the Bomb, who says, sexist. What's wrong with being sexy? Nothing. 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 You get a lot of jealousy, though. When you look like me, you get a lot of jealousy from your fellow man, you know. Hi to Wide Awake Radio. How you doing, Wide Awake Radio? Albert Neville says, the note about there's no money was a joke. It is impossible because we have our own currency. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. You understand that the government doesn't control the Bank of England. This is the thing, you see, which most people can't get their heads around. It's not running the Bank of England, the government. It doesn't do that. Right? The government doesn't have the power to issue currency, to grant, to how do I put this, to apportion and to spend money. Oh, Christ, Richie. I am tired. I don't function on a Friday. But you know what I'm talking about. You don't need to be told. And the stream is not working on my phone. So hopefully I haven't lost it. Have I lost it? Are we off? No? We might be off. Hopefully not. No, we're not off. Just this phone is a bit weird. Yeah. Ultimately, look, I've explained this in so many other shows, and I've explained it articulately. I'm not going to get into it here. The government doesn't control the money supply. That's ultimately the truth. We are on. Good. It's just my little monitor there jumped out. There's a number of videos on YouTube where I've explained fractional reserve banking, where I've explained the Bank of England, where I've explained how and why governments borrow money to pay for their manifesto pledges. And why they don't just issue that money themselves debt-free, because they can't. And I've gotten into this in a historical context. Somebody else has done it is Dean Henderson. Check out Dean Henderson. HendersonLeftHook.wordpress.com. Brilliant man. And hey, this made me laugh. Let's lighten it up just a little bit. This made me giggle. There is a ridiculous television programme running at the moment on ITV, independent television, ITV here in the UK. And it's called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. It's as boring as a dog's arse. It's an annual thing where a bunch of dubious celebrities are brought to the a jungle in Australia, allegedly. And they compete against one another for the public's adoration and respect. And they do this by undertaking or undergoing various humiliating tasks, including being exposed to phobias, you know, spiders, insects, all sorts of stupid things. It's fucking absolutely garbage, right? But one of the big stars this year is Caitlyn Jenner, the trans woman. And Caitlyn has been very forthcoming about being a trans woman, and this made me giggle this morning. Apparently, Caitlyn's kids still call her dad. And her 20 grandchildren refer to her as Boom Boom to avoid any confusion over gender titles. 70-year-old Caitlyn Jenner there, who used to be known as Bruce Jenner. I don't know anything about these people. I only know about Caitlyn Jenner because of discussing issues around transgender on the radio show. But there's Caitlyn anyway. Your children call you dad because you are their dad, regardless of what you've done, regardless of what surgery you may have had to change your appearance and your appendage. You're a man who thinks that you are a woman. And that's the way it is. I thought that was fairly interesting. Very. So are the children transphobic then, I wonder? Apparently not. Identity politics and racism is everywhere. There's an ITV television programme called Good Morning Britain. These days, it's hosted by a motley crew. People like Piers Morgan. And what's her face? And Jesus Christ. And Suzanne Reid, is it Susanna Reid? And you have Ben Shepherd, and you have Charlotte Hawkins, who's the blonde woman there. Now, they're changing things around. A half an hour before Susanna Reid and Piers Morgan come on, you're going to have a half an hour of Charlotte Hawkins. They're giving her a bit of a promotion, giving her own programme. But this is racist, because there were two minority people there. You can see them, right? Do you see him there? Sean Fletcher and Ranveer Singh. And apparently, this is evidence of bias against black, Asian and minority ethnic people because they should have gotten the gig. I think they make the point in the article that even these people they have seniority over Charlotte. They've been around a bit longer. No notion being expressed here. No credence being given to the notion or to the idea that just maybe Charlotte Hawkins is a better presenter, maybe. Well, in the eyes of the program's producers, maybe. Just maybe. No! It's racist. Outrage expressed on Twitter because these are long-serving ethnic minority people. Why weren't they given the half-hour slot in the morning? The truth is, if I'm going to be entirely honest, and Charlotte Hawkins has been around a while. She used to work for Sky. She used to be on a program at Eamon Holmes. I think she's okay, right? Do you know what the truth of it is now? Look at our news channels. Look at BBC News 24. Look at Sky News. And if you leave Adam Bolton and Kay Burley out of it, there is a trend towards getting very glamorous looking, attractive female presenters. That's what it's all about, really. It's got nothing to do with the BME thing. You know, they're going down the route that Fox News went down, that CNN went down. Get a lot of very high maintenance, you know, seemingly very attractive women and put them in front of the camera. If you look at Sky Sports News, it's a classic example of that. Right? It's a parade of beauties from dawn till dusk reading the sports news. Because it's a very easy thing to do, to sit at a desk and read an autocue. It really is. I used to, you know, I've never been modest, me. I've never been remotely modest. When people said to me, oh, Richie, that TV stuff you did and all that, very good. Well, no, a lot of it was me inputting a script into a computer program that would then appear on the lens of the camera. That's autocue. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. And so what they do these days, to get a lot of very attractive, high-maintenance young women, put them in front of the camera, and that's the trend. I doubt it has anything to do with racism, but everything is racist. You have to understand that. Everything is racist. A few things about the Duke. He gets to keep one job. Let me just read this. He's got some tech gig where he works for a company that makes money out of tech deals. It's called Pitch at Palace. So if you're a tech startup, right, you would pitch to this company that he is involved in, and if they like it, they will match you as the tech person with investors. Do you get it? So they're kind of like middlemen. So he runs this company called Pitch at Palace, right? If you've got a tech startup, if it's good and they like it, they'll find investors for you. And apparently he's going to keep that gig. The Daily Mail is worried about his daughters. What now for Papa's little princesses? Andrew's long funded their jet set lifestyles. But can the royal family protect Eugenie and Beatrice in the wake of their father's fall from grace? Yes. Aren't they gorgeous, Eugenie and Beatrice, aren't they? They're lovely. They might be out of pocket now that Andrew is having his royal duties curtailed or scaled back. Sacha Baron Cohen, a bit like David Baddiel, used to be funny a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Not very funny anymore. Bit of a one-trick pony, I reckon, this guy. Well, he's Jewish. And he's had a bit of a pop at Mark Zuckerberg in a speech that he made for allowing fake news to go unchallenged on Facebook. Sacha Baron Cohen, who's married to a woman, I think, called Isla Fisher, who used to be in Home and Away back in the day. She was lovely. During a scathing takedown, Baron Cohen repeatedly pummeled the founders and leaders of Facebook. He basically said that if Hitler was alive today, he'd have a Facebook page and he would be able to post on it. So he blames big tech for the proliferation of hate speech, right? He said that such practices were the reason fake news outperforms real news and why lies spread faster than the truth. And he's very concerned about Holocaust denial being rampant on each of the platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so on, so on, so on. Yes. Who gets to determine what is real and what is fake? Nobody wants to answer that question. Who becomes the arbiter of what is true and what is untrue? The arbiter. Does that fall into the laps of governments? Wow. What a coup that would be. The media, supposed to, when it's doing its job, hold government to account. But then you have governments setting up allegedly independent bodies to determine what is fake and what isn't fake. Of course, ultimately what it boils down to is, it boils down to the premise that you are too fucking thick to decide for yourself what is true and what isn't true. So you need to be protected from yourself because you're a thick fucking bastard. You see, we have to protect you and prevent you from seeing things that might cause you to think something that isn't true. Who gets to decide? That is the question. This is really through the looking glass here, people. This is crazy shit. And it's happening at the speed of light. Do you not see the pattern here? Can you not see the storyline, the timeline? Let's use this wonderful internet thingy to create 3 or 4 mega fucking platforms. Let's call one of them Facebook. Let's take what Friends Reunited did, give it an injection of steroids, and induce every man, woman and child on planet Earth to have their own Facebook page. Let's make them feel really important. Let's give them this fake sense of relevance. Let's give them narcissism. Let's make them think that they are all hugely important. Celebrities in their own right. And that lots of people will want to see, to read, and to hear what they have to say. So let's give them Facebook. And by doing that, they will abandon their websites. Because your Facebook page can now become your website. Watch them compete for friends and followers. They'll become so narcissistic, some of them will even buy friends and buy followers from little subsidiary companies that we set up. We'll get them all on there. It'll be like kettling them. It'll be like kettling 2 billion people. And once they're in there, they'll never fucking leave because there won't be anywhere else to go because our friends at Google will make sure that we're the only game in town. And that's how it works. And you're all on there. And now they can control not only what you see, what you read and what you hear, but they now get to control what you say. Do you see the fucking timeline there? The social network film, Mark Zuckerberg, are you shitting me? Did you really believe that? It's the biggest Trojan horse that humanity has ever encountered. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Fantastic. They're all in there now. Now we can decide what they should and shouldn't see. What are they going to do? It's total lockdown. Isn't it? total lockdown. You got Baron Cohen then, eh? Fuckwit. And his pals coming out demanding that these institutions do more to prevent the spread of fake news. Wonderful. Wonderful. Catchphrase. Fake news. Fake news. What is fake? Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Pretty sure that was fake. Pretty fucking sure that was fake. Bashar al-Assad has been using chemical weapons to kill his own people. Well, we fucking know that's fake. Fact, not conjecture. Fact. We know that the BBC was complicit in helping to stage the aftermath of a chemical weapons attack. The BBC. No organisation more than the BBC is beating the fucking drum for the curtailing of so-called fake news on Facebook. But you fucking told us that Bashar al-Assad was bombing his own people with chlorine gas. In fact, you staged the aftermath of an attack to convince us that he was a bastard. And you really want to talk to us about the need to hinder the spread or the flow of fake news on Facebook. What you really want to do, you evil bastards, is you want to prevent people like me and my colleagues from challenging your fake fucking narrative. That's the irony. Fake news, the BBC reporter standing in front of Building 7 on September the 11th, 2001, telling you the fucking thing had collapsed. I can fucking see it there. Who told you that it was going to collapse? Fake news, huh? Fake fucking news. Yeah. So you've seen this Rachel Riley thing. You've seen this Rachel Riley thing. Rachel is Jewish as well. Rachel Riley, she's Jewish. And the countdown host, Jeremy Corbyn, was arrested in 1984, attending an anti-apartheid rally. And he had a T-shirt on him. There were signs as well, basically with anti-apartheid messages. And Rachel Riley, who identifies as being a Jew, hates Corbyn. And she decided to make a little meme, or a T-shirt in fact, of herself. No, she made a T-shirt with an image of Corbyn. That image from 1984 of him being arrested. But she changed the message. So she's got an image of Corbyn. And she changed the message to read, Jeremy Corbyn is a racist endeavour. And people are up in arms about it. They're really, really, really up in arms about it. Right? Because she doctored the anti-apartheid message. She believes that Corbyn is anti-Semitic. She believes that he doesn't like Jews. And that's her prerogative, if she wants to believe that. But what's made me laugh is, because along with people like Gilad Atzmon, who's written a great book called Being in Time, I've spent a lot of time in recent years reading about identity politics and studying it and analysing the impact that it is having on humanity, on people, on our ability to live alongside one another, on our ability to coexist, on our ability to break bread together, to talk with one another. Identity politics is the source of, in my opinion, the main reason that we see the division that we see now on an unprecedented level the division among people and peoples. We get people assigning themselves to identity groups, you know, as a socialist, as a conservative, as a gay man, as a gay woman, as an Irish man, as an Irish woman. No, you're not. You're not. I do believe, and I've said it 1,000 times, you're not. You're having an experience as that which you just described. None of this is fucking real. You're not black. You're not white, really. You're not Asian. You're not. You think you are. That's the programme. It's what you are experiencing life as. David Icke has written extensively about this, but it wasn't his idea. I'm having a go at David, by the way. David has taken it on, and he's ran with it, and he's done a brilliant job of it. But it goes way back, this idea, that the Earth is not real, that it's a hologram, and that we, as conscious, energetic beings, are experiencing the reality because this is how we are programmed. This is how we are decoding it. And I believe that. I don't believe it because David Icke told me. Brilliant though his research into that subject is. It is brilliant. David is brilliant at deconstructing that whole idea. And I recommend people buy the books and read them. I read everybody else who's ever written about it. I have. I've read the scientists. I've read NASA. Rich Terrell. All these people. And I believe that. So it's a nonsense anyway. That you're a farmer, that you're a greengrocer, that you're a doctor. You're not. You are, as far as you understand it, but on another level that we don't really get to see until maybe we depart these bodies that we are inhabiting. None of it is fucking real. That's what I think, right? Something wants us. Something wants us to keep dividing ourselves. It's like a cell that never stops dividing. Now, I know that cells don't ever stop dividing. But just picture it. To millions and billions of ever smaller identity groups. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. And there was a lovely little example of this on Twitter last night, which made me belly laugh. And I don't often belly laugh, but I belly laughed. I think you might belly laugh too. So Rachel Riley, this Jewish woman, this TV presenter, who hates Corbyn and believes that the Jews are under attack. And she doctored an anti-apartheid message to make it look like it's saying Jeremy Corbyn is a racist endeavour. Well, the problem with that is that there are black Jews. I'm not laughing at the notion there are black Jews. Do not get me wrong here. Of course there can be black Jews. Of course there can be Asian Jews. Of course there can be Eskimo Jews. Of course. Because Judaism is a belief. It's a belief system. It's a club. It's a religion. So of course you can have black and Asian Jews. But this made me laugh. So Riley, the Jew, who's pissed off at Corbyn for not protecting Jews, belly laughs. Belly laughs. Wrong fucking story. Couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. Right, here we go. Belly laughs. This is Lara Challa, black girl M. She's bluish. Did my girl actually erase the anti-apartheid message to do this? I can friggin' not. So there. There's the t-shirt. There's the t-shirt. So who is Lara Challa, black girl M? Well, she's black and she's Jewish. She's British. She's a mother. She's a friend. And everything else beautiful in between. These people exist. These narcissistic fuckwits. They live amongst us. And social media has created hundreds of millions of them. It has given people this inflated sense of self-importance. It has programmed people to think that they are vitally important and that everybody should listen to what I have to say. No, it doesn't work like that. People will listen to you if it's relevant, if it's well thought out, if it's constructed, if it's reasoned. That's what it's done, social media. It's created hundreds of millions of fucking idiots, right, who are living Walter Mitty lives now, where they believe... I'm not saying that people are not important. I'm not more important than the next person I meet on the street today. Of course not. I'm not saying that at all. It doesn't matter how many fucking followers you have. But this is the whole purpose of social media. To get people to withdraw into themselves. Right? To believe in their own grandiosity. But anyway, it just makes me laugh. This highlights how fucking ridiculous identity politics is. She's black and she's Jewish. And she's absolutely disgusted that the Jewish girl, Rachel Riley, who doesn't like Jeremy Corbyn, because Jeremy Corbyn allegedly doesn't like the Jews, because Rachel Riley expressed that in a way that meant that she had to erase an anti-apartheid message. So she goes into meltdown. Meltdown. Identity groups. Identity politics. Identity groups. Just made me belly laugh that. There was so much of it too. There's another one. Shardeen. Shardeen is black. She's a drummer for a band that are going to be in Manchester in 2 days. And the most arrogant racist shit she's seen in a while. A blue-eyed, blonde-haired woman literally erasing black struggle. Literally erasing black struggle to centre themselves as the victim of racism, says Shardeen Taylor Stone. As stupid and as vacuous as Rachel Riley is, I don't think by mocking up the Jeremy Corbyn picture, she has erased black struggle. Black struggle is, for me, becoming a bit like the Holocaust. I'm getting sick to fucking death of hearing about it. Because we're all struggling. The agenda isn't singling out individual groups of people. The agenda is working to impoverish, disenfranchise, and fucking ruin life experience for every one of us. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't. But it's important for the agenda that people keep splintering off into ever more bizarre identity groups. With each identity group racing to the bottom to claim for itself the title of the most oppressed in the world. And of course, the puppet masters, the financial elites. Look at them on Twitter killing each other. Black Jews, Jews, Eskimo Jews killing one another. Meanwhile, we are bringing down governments in Bolivia, in Venezuela. We are arming and training jihadi daddy nutcases in the Middle East to kill hundreds of thousands of people. We are bringing in a fake climate change agenda to change people's lives unimaginably based on the fucking lie that climate change is real. We're doing all that, killing millions of people in Yemen, not millions, but nearly millions. And they're killing each other over which of them is the most oppressed in society. Aren't they a bunch of fucking idiots? Yes, they are, Jacob. Yes, they are. Jacob. Gotta throw that one in there. Crazy! Crazy! Brilliant. Never thought I'd see the day that the Jews would start killing themselves. The Jews. And of course, no one Jew speaks for Jews. Said this a million times. Belly laughs. I suppose you had to be there. What else do we have for you today? Not much. Because I've been here now for nearly an hour and I'm fucking getting a bit tired of you, to be honest. What's that? You tired of me 20 minutes ago? Well, you're still here, aren't you? You're still here. Right. Finish with this one, because this is important. There's a global epidemic of childhood inactivity. Graham Booth! You get your little princess. Get her out and about. He will too, Graham Booth. He's a good daddy. He'll get the kid out and about, out and running. Hayden Jr. is always out and about running, doing stuff. Get him out doing stuff. Four in five 11 to 17-year-olds around the world are not taking enough physical exercise. Four in five. Now, the fact that the World Health Organization is announcing these figures might be cause for concern for some. Because you might think, well, the next thing is they have a vaccine for that. We have a vaccine that will give it you. And it will boost and bolster your muscles. No, in all seriousness, this is very serious. Because the lack of physical activity is having an impact on the neural activity of the child, the brain activity, as well as the children's social skills. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have fucking thunk it? They're not out and about running around, chasing each other, playing games, kicking a ball, making fucking lemonade. They're not doing any of that stuff. They're indoors watching TV or playing with a device. And this is having a big, big impact on their ability to interact with one another. An hour a day is recommended for young children. An hour a day. Jesus, we were out for hours, weren't we? Do you remember the summer holidays years ago? I grew up in Ballybeg in Waterford City. I grew up in Ballybeg on Priory Lawn in Ballybeg. Ballybeg is a big housing estate, and it's comprised of lots of different neighbourhoods. It was a great place to grow up, Ballybeg, a great place. And Priory Lawn is on Ballybeg Drive, giving you lots of information here. And when we had our holidays, or even after school, even weekends, we were just thrown onto the fucking street by our parents. And it was a good thing. Get out! I don't want to. Get out! And you were chucked out. We were opposite fields, lots of fields. So jumpers for goalposts, never-ending football matches that went on forever. That's why we are so healthy now, I think. I've had issues with the insomnia. I know you'll say, oh, you were in hospital last year. I was, but it was insomnia. You know, I've had a bit of pneumonia, of course. But by and large, my entire life, I've been very healthy. We were booted out in all weathers. And we played. That's what we did. Running, cycling, swimming, football, hopping, skipping, gymnastics. Hopping. Don't remember doing too much hopping. Here's the recommended physical activity guidelines. Because some of you need to get off your fucking arses as well and get out for a bit. You know who I'm talking to. Right? Children, an hour a day. Adults. Is that right? They recommend for adults, they recommend 2.5 hours. I'm a bit sceptical about that. 2.5 hours of moderate aerobic activity a week. I think you could do a bit more than that now. I think you could stretch it. Fitter heart and lungs, stronger bones, you sleep better, lower weight, all the rest of it. But yeah, the World Health Organization, does it really want to keep us healthy? I suppose you have to understand that in these organizations, you will ask people, they're compartmentalized, these organizations, you will ask people doing their best for people, looking out for people. And I know there's an agenda to keep children indoors, to keep them on phones, to transform their minds. The biological changes that have been witnessed under MRI scan while children are using devices. It's all real. It's physiologically changing children. And I believe it's meant to happen. But get them out. Get them outdoors. And you'll be doing the best thing you can do for them, I think. So that's it then for this impromptu last minute Friday nonsense. I'm going to go away now. I'll be back with you on Sunday morning for Sunday View. That's on the radio, of course, at 11 o'clock UK time, where I'll be looking through the Sunday papers, and we'll be listening in on some of the talk shows the Andrew Marr show, the Sophie Ridge show. So, yeah, all seems to be operational and fully functional here at Richie Allen Show Towers. Until the next time we speak then, have a lovely weekend. It's goodbye from yours truly. Goodbye.